Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
This story just broke. I believe the kids call this a Woj bomb. Adrian Wojnarowski. New Orleans has parted ways with GM Dell Demps. You know what the NBA should do? They should have a new trade deadline. Announced today. Lakers, Pelicans, you got 48 hours. Wrap this Anthony Davis thing up, would ya? What a mess. You know, it's funny because the coach of the Pelicans, Alvin Gentry, last night, his team beat Oklahoma City. Anthony Davis got hurt and the guys won. And he was talking about this entire Pelicans situation with a star player wants out, all the rumors of a Laker trade, and he talked about it.
To tell you the truth, you know, this whole thing has been a dumpster fire, you know, and it's just hard, you know, for guys. You know, we want guys to be professional and we want them to do this, but it's hard for guys to go through what they've been through.
It's not a dumpster fire. Since Dell Demps just got fired, it's a dempster fire. Listen, the Lakers didn't want to get involved, and this is a golden rule. Be very careful about getting involved in unbalanced relationships. Okay, the Lakers are the golden brand of the NBA. The Pelicans are run by NFL people. Louisiana has two Fortune 500 companies. City's not really capable of generating enough suite revenue, TV, local radio, to really make this puppy work. Players don't want to play there. You know, not enough big money in New Orleans to have a separate ownership group. But the Lakers had to. Where in baseball, certain teams will say, we're not going to deal with Scott Boras, the agent. In the NBA, sometimes you got to deal with second and third tier agents and the bottom of the barrel teams because players matter more. Individual players matter more in the NBA. By the way, Woj continues on in regards to that Laker-Pelican mess. Woj says, quote, ownership was livid with an injured Anthony Davis leaving the arena during Thursday night's game, sources say. Gail Benson's telling associates she wants an overhaul of the Pelicans and a search for a GM to take command of the trade talks with Anthony Davis and reshape the team's future. But again, this is an organization, the Pelicans, and just don't have the money, the gravitas, the history, or the personnel. Top scouts don't want to work for the Pelicans. Top GMs don't want to work for the Pelicans. That's why leagues, you have to be very careful who you allow in the league. You got Frank McCourt, Dodgers, bad owner. Did not have the money to own a Major League Baseball team. Frank McCourt did a lot of injury to the Dodger brand. He did not qualify, and they slid him in. Bud Selig did. It was a massive mistake. You want rich guys who don't meddle, who have capital. Pelicans shouldn't be in this league. But one of the reasons I don't engage on Twitter with just regular people, there's no win for me. Somebody's trying to get into a conversation to get me in trouble, get me all stoked up. It's the same thing with the Lakers. They didn't want to do business with the Pelicans and Dell Demps, but they had to. And I feel bad. Nobody ended up looking good in this thing. Clutch Sports looked bad. Lakers looked bad. LeBron looked bad. Magic looked bad. Rob Pelinka, Anthony Davis. Even the Celtics got hit by shrapnel. And in baseball, we all know they should cut out about 60 games. In the NBA, they should cut out about 5 teams. I mean, New Orleans is in the West. Figure that one out. The Pelicans use NFL employees. So it's just, and it's not over, by the way. This mess is not over. The Pelicans, you know, they felt like they got over on the Lakers. But the problem is, now your star, Anthony Davis, hates you. A, and B, he just got hurt. So this has been one of these situations where this is a cautionary tale of where you put teams. You know, when you Jacksonville in the NFL, it's not an NFL city. Top people don't want to work there. It's just, you got to be careful. Every time these owners, these billionaire owners say, yeah, expansion, expansion. None of our leagues need expansion. And I'm not picking on New Orleans. They're a great NFL city. It is an unbelievable college football city. But I lived in Portland, Oregon. Portland, Oregon's got a great NBA franchise and a great MLS franchise. You can't give them a baseball team. They're not big enough. They don't have the corporate support for 162 game. You'd need 37,000 season ticket holders and 40 suites being sold to corporations. Outside of, you know, you got Nike, you got, you know, Tektronix or a couple of, you know, tech companies. You don't have enough money. So Pelican thing was a mess. Dempster fire is out. And I swear to God, they should just open that trading deadline up for 48 more hours and get that puppy done. By the way, great to be with you today. Rick Bucher, Sam Munson, who runs a site called Pro Football Focus, lead NFL analyst for them, will come on today. Can't wait for that, too. I follow Pro Football Focus like crazy. They grade every player. It's great. So Magic Johnson is a celebrity in America. I told the story last week that I was at a Laker game late last year. And I'm sitting, you know, 30 rows up around midcourt. You know, good seats. Got some freebies. Took a buddy. And the section started rising one after another. And I thought there was a fight. You don't see fights in NBA crowds very much. You see them in football upper deck. You know, Buffalo Bills, Cleveland upper deck late, snowballs, fights, fist fights, whatever. You don't see NBA fights much. So all of a sudden, all the different sections started rising. And I looked to my right and I'm like, what's going on? And it, like, three different sections rise. And it's just Magic Johnson in the tunnel. Magic's a celebrity. And don't blame Magic for being a celebrity. When you're a celebrity, there are different rules. Donald Trump is a celebrity. Ran for president. He didn't have to knock door for door. He didn't have to knock door to door. Didn't have to. He could go on Saturday Night Live. He could go on radio shows, TV shows. Rules are different. By the way, Barack Obama ran for president. About the last 6 months, Oprah and some huge American iconic celebrities were like, vote for that guy. Obama didn't have to play by the same rules. He became a celebrity. You get the benefit of the discussion. Everybody wants to talk to you. And, you know, in politics, they always want to keep it even. You appear, then they appear, Democrat, Republican. There is no balance anymore. Once celebrities run for president or politicians become celebrities, all rules change. You can't punish Obama. You can't punish Magic. So Magic Johnson yesterday was asked about a player. Play some audio. Here's what he said.
I have to ask you about Kemba Walker.
You know, I can't answer any questions about no players because every time I do it, I get fined. But anybody else do it, they don't get fined. So I'm going to stay away from that. All right,
thank you. Thank
you. And you know, Magic Johnson's right. If Clutch Sports had no relationship to LeBron, and Magic Johnson and the Lakers weren't involved, nobody would care about this AD thing. If Anthony Davis was going to Charlotte, nobody would give a rip. Well, that's Michael Jordan. If Anthony Davis was going to Milwaukee, nobody would give a rip. I mean, the LA Clippers have sent somebody to every single Kawhi Leonard game in Toronto this year. Nobody cares. It's the Clippers. The reality is the NBA is punishing Magic for being Magic. That players want to talk to him. People in Los Angeles, where he's been forever, still rise to see him in a business suit walk out of a tunnel. What is tampering? The Warriors recruited Kevin Durant for months. Nobody cared. The Warriors had been awful for 50 years, since the Rick Barry days. They had a brief year or two with Monte Ellis. They weren't seen as a huge threat. They were just young and fun, and they'd won a title, but there was still LeBron, still had big brands, and they recruited KD, and everybody's like, they were recruiting him during the year. The Lakers are essentially the rich guy getting a tax break, and nobody likes it. Because the NBA's most powerful team is the Lakers, and the most powerful player is LeBron, and the most beloved popular CEO is Magic, and everybody's freaking out. But like Obama at the end of his presidential run, when big iconic stars embraced him, like Trump, like Magic, don't punish the celebrity for becoming in a celebrity-obsessed culture. Don't blame him for becoming a celebrity. I mean, this tampering issue, to me, feels like an anti-Laker issue. Rest of the league's just too sensitive with LeBron, Magic, and the Lakers brand. I'm going to give you an example. You know, July 1st is the NBA free agency signing day. So at midnight, 12:01, you can announce or start, quote unquote, working on free agents. You ever notice guys sign 1 minute after midnight? You ever notice that? Meaning they've been working on it for months. They've been tampering for months. Nobody has any problem with it. Those free agents sign a minute after 12:01. You really think this is how it goes? Ring, ring. Hi, it's Anthony Davis. Hi, it's the Lakers. Would you like to play for us? Sure. Call Woj. No. They've been working on that puppy for 60 days. And it's understood. And nobody has a problem with it. Those deals are discussed for months. Recruited for months. But yet, LeBron, Magic, and the Lakers talk about AD. This is outrageous. This is tampering. By the way, NBA All-Star Weekend. This weekend, right? So all the stars are going to be in the locker room together and eating dinner and drinking wine all weekend. They can't talk. They can't discuss business. They can't slide into somebody else's DMs. What? You ever notice tampering didn't become a problem until LeBron started going to see Zion Williamson and LeBron talked about Anthony Davis? It was a LeBron issue. It wasn't a tampering issue. Just nonsense. Just, what is tampering? Rick Bucher's joining us. I tamper all the time. Seriously. I wake up in the morning, roll out of bed tampering. I'm constantly texting guys. You come over here. You work for Fox. Amazing. You see, Skip Bayless just showed up. Tampering for months. Broussard, Chris Carter. I was on the phone with those guys for months. I'm like, Bristol, L.A., what do you think? It's free scones over here at Fox. Everybody over here. I gave my company like a list of 15 guys I was tampering every second.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Rick Bucher's in Charlotte for the All-Star Game, Bleacher Report senior writer. You know, I was saying this, is that nobody came out of that whole AD, LeBron, Laker, Clutch Sports thing looking good. It's a mess. Nobody looks good. Do you believe now, Rick, that basically the waters were poisoned by Dell Demps just to make the Lakers look bad, to make Clutch Sports look bad, that they really, because this is what I'm hearing now, but I don't have it sourced, but you hear things that the Pelicans just wanted, they were so pissed at Clutch Sports and AD, they just said, we're going to throw every name out, make the Lakers look horrible. Do you believe that's what happened and how all the names got out?
It's not normally the way I would expect a guy like Dell Demps to operate. So when we say the Pelicans in terms of who put it out there, where it came from, but I do know that those that are involved do believe that the names came from the Pelicans now. It was originally thought by the Lakers that Rich Paul and Clutch Agency were the ones who put those names out there. But there's been a meeting of the minds between the Lakers and Clutch, and the feeling is now, as you said, that the Pelicans were the ones that put those names out there. And yes, the enmity toward the Pelicans at this stage, whether it's the Pelicans or just about any other team in the league, is, you know, screw them. They think they can do whatever they want. They can break any rule that they want, that they're entitled. If we're going to approach it this way, then you know what? We'll play dirty. But as far as Demps being the one that leaked them, that's just not his style.
You know, July 1st is the NBA free agency period. It begins, and 1 minute after midnight, all the deals get made, illustrating what appears to be clear that everybody's tampering for months, and everybody knows it. Could I not make the argument that this is a LeBron, Magic, Lakers? The Clippers are at every Kawhi Leonard game in Toronto. Nobody cares. If Anthony Davis was going to Denver, nobody would care. This is an anti-LeBron. You know, it's fear-based. It's like giving the rich guy a tax cut. Nobody likes the Lakers. Yeah. That part of this is like anti-Laker bias.
Well, I would temper that with this. But you're right. The truth of the matter is, I've talked to GMs. The business of the NBA would not function if there weren't tampering. It wouldn't work. The timing of everything, the ability to vet things, it would be on an entirely different time scale if there weren't tampering. What ticks people off in the league about the Lakers, because this tampering happens everywhere,
yes,
and
there are
discussions. The difference is the Lakers are arrogant about it. The Lakers advertise it. Magic Johnson is on late night TV doing the wink, wink. Yeah, are we interested in Paul George? Making a joke of it. LeBron is being interviewed and saying it's incredible that it would be amazing for me to play with Anthony Davis. And then reports are leaked that he's having dinner with AD. It's more that it's not that these conversations are going on. It's that the Lakers and LeBron in particular, and you have like the two biggest culprits in doing it, advertise that they're doing it. And that's what ticks everybody off.
Rick Bucher, Bleacher Report senior writer. So rebuilding, if there was a rebuilding for dummies, the Celtics would be on the cover. They didn't tank. They got the right coach.
Yep.
They didn't whiff on any draft. Well, they drafted well. They land Gordon Hayward. They get Kyrie. Mm-hmm. Their rebuild, comparatively to others, has been the gold standard of rebuilds. But, in the last couple of months, Gordon Hayward isn't a perfect fit right now. Kyrie's hurt again. Anthony Davis, I'm told a week ago, is not going to be a Celtic. And Jason Tatum, according to Brian Windhorst or somebody on a podcast, would entertain the Pelicans. From the outside, is it fair to say that this rebuild, as now they're getting into business with stars, that the Butler head coach Brad Stevens, it's getting a little rocky?
Yeah, you know what? It's a great point. Now, I'm not going to say that what they have and what they've done somehow that they've screwed this up, because they still have an embarrassment of riches.
Yes.
And I said, they could still end up very easily winning it all this year. And I do believe that the NBA champion is going to come out of the East one way or another this season. That said, I think that this is a referendum on maybe we anointed Brad Stevens a little too soon. Because for me, it's not the X's and O's, and I think a lot of people lose this. When you are a coach in the NBA, it is about managing egos, and the great coaches have to manage huge egos. If you're going to have the talent to play for a championship, you are going to have an array of egos that you have to make work together, and that's what Brad Stevens is facing right now. Last year, when you have Kyrie and Gordon Hayward hurt, you have a bunch of young guys that have been discounted.
Yeah.
They stepped up to the fore and said, you know what, we're not ready to pack it in this year. Now you have to combine Kyrie and Gordon Hayward with these guys who made a name for themselves last year and find a way to integrate all that. And I'll be honest, you know, I look at the rotations, I look at the handling of it. This is not something a guy from Butler ever had to deal
with. That's right.
And
by the way,
not to say that he can't do it, but this is the, you know, when you talk about the Phil Jacksons and the Greg Popoviches, yeah, their great ability was to manage monstrous egos and make them work together. And that's what Brad Stevens is facing right now.
Yeah, listen, in baseball, if you manage the Cincinnati Reds, it's about X's and O's and analytics. If you manage the Yankees like Joe Torre, it's dealing with egos. You know, in Kentucky basketball and Duke basketball, it's not the same as it is at Xavier. And if you go look
100%.
At, you know, like the Michigan coach that everybody loves in college basketball, he gets 3-star recruits. But if you put him in the NBA, you know, so I agree with you. I think Phil Jackson's greatest gift to me was Joe Torre's. In a room, he could sense the temperature of Kobe that morning and Shaq that night. And even though it broke up, so we agree. I want one more thing. Jeannie Buss says Luke Walton is safe. And I think it's way too late in the season to start over. Is your gut feeling this morning, is Luke Walton a top 10 coach?
No. No. I never thought.
And okay, who do you like? Give me some guys. We know Spoelstra, Carlisle, Pop, Kerr. We know that. But when in your sources, people think Luke is still not a top third coach in the league.
No, he's a develop. And keep in mind, I mean, look, he's a developing coach. Does he have the capability? Does he have the IQ? Sure. Does he have the experience? He was hired for a rebuilding job. And when they got LeBron James, that suddenly changed everything. And I don't blame him for what has gone on with this team this year, but because it's such a mixed bag, it's a half, 1 foot in, 1 foot out with LeBron and a bunch of young guys. I mean, this team isn't built for a LeBron James. It simply isn't. And he's had to find a way to manage it. But just being around when he was coaching the Warriors and they went on their great run, that was a function of what they already had in place, as opposed to Luke, you know, working some incredible magic. So I feel as if he's under a new regime that did not hire him. The landscape has changed in terms of what this team is trying to do. Now, is he safe? Is he safe for this year? Yeah, because I don't know that there's anything that's going to change markedly for this season. Do I expect Luke Walton to be the coach of the team starting next season? I don't see any way that he will.
Yeah. Bucher and Friends podcast. Rick Bucher, Bleacher Report senior writer. It is a pleasure to talk to you. Have fun at the All-Star game.
Thanks. Will do.
Rick Bucher. Good stuff.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Matt Kuchar's a golfer. He's a good golfer. Very good golfer. Won 15 events. Apparently last fall he won a golf classic that I didn't watch and haven't heard of. And his caddy, not his regular caddy, but his caddy at the time recently said, that guy took advantage of me. Matt Kuchar said, we had a deal. $4,000 if I got in the top 10. Kuchar won it, gave him an extra $1,000. Gravy on top. Kuchar said, making $5,000 is a great week. People are upset that Matt Kuchar won $1.3 million. And Matt Kuchar only gave him $5,000. So let's talk about that. Matt Kuchar in this caddy, that was not his normal caddy. He was outsourced. They had an agreed upon rate. $1,000 to the caddy if he missed the cut. $2,000 made the cut. $3,000 top 20. $4,000 top 10. He actually won it and he gave an extra $1,000. So the caddy agreed to the terms. By the way, a $5,000 to carry clubs for 3 days is outrageous. My staff is asking to work for Matt Kuchar. Matt Kuchar's excellent. The hardest league in the world to make is the PGA. Literally, you have a bad week, you don't get paid. You have a bad hole, you don't get paid. They can eliminate you from the tour if you don't win enough. I mean, the Pelicans, they can't even get a trade pulled off. They don't lose their franchise. So Matt Kuchar has 15 tournament wins. He's won with several caddies. So the question now, not the answer, is what's the value of a caddy? Now, this was not bones to Phil Mickelson, a longtime caddy, no longer, but a longtime caddy that Phil Mickelson absolutely trusted and relied on. This was not Jordan Spieth's caddy. I mean, he's in that guy's ear every shot. This was an outsourced caddy who Matt Kuchar was not going to rely on nearly as much as somebody he lives, breathes, travels with. It's not bones with Mickelson. So if you have an outsourced caddy and I'm struggling with the value of, for instance, if John took the day off and I had an outsourced producer who I would not rely on as heavily, then he is worth the terms you agree to. Colin, but Kuchar won. Dak Prescott's won the NFC East 2 of the last 3 years. Do you get a tip for it? Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl. Do you get a tip for it? The people supporting the caddy can't even come up with a satisfactory amount. I listened the last 2 days. Hosts, callers, golf pros, experts, 50,000 minimum. Next caller, at least 100. Golf pro calls a radio show. 10-15%. That's standard. So the experts, the callers, the hosts, you can't even come to terms. You're not even close. So when you outsource somebody and there is a discrepancy in the considered value of said outsourced employee, you go to the value, the agreement, the handshake, the terms of the agreement. I'm listening to everybody tell me what Kuchar should have paid him. And by the way, everybody's always got an opinion on everybody else's money. Michael Jordan donated a couple million dollars a few years ago for some natural disasters. Everybody's like, he's cheap. It's his money. $2 million is $2 million. Doesn't matter what he makes. I don't go to a restaurant. You don't get a better tip because I have more money than the guy sitting next to me. It's my money. I'm going to tip you on service, not on my income. But Matt Kuchar's agent offered the caddy $15,000. The caddy turned it down and went public. This was not a typical caddy. This is an outsourced. This is what corporate America does. And so there's always questions on the value of any employee that is not a full-time employee, that is not a long-time, trusted, relied-upon employee. When it comes to the outsourcing thing, what are the terms? Let's agree to them. And in this instance, the caddy did a bad job figuring out what his value was. I know that's not a popular take. I know nobody agrees listening to me. But there's a difference between, let's say I had a driver that drove me around Los Angeles. I don't, but let's say I did. The tip would be much different than the Uber driver, who I have no relationship with, who doesn't make the trip as comfortable, as seamless, and as trustable, even if he gets me to the restaurant I'm going to. So once you have an outsourced employee, that's based on terms. It's not the same relationship as Mickelson and Bones. And I know that's not popular, but listening to everybody inform me and educate me on what you should pay him was so random and arbitrary. Had he tipped him $25,000, you'd have still ripped him. Most of the callers thought at minimum $50,000 to carry clubs. Hell of a weekend. So it's $5,000, actually.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Bill Plaschke is a longtime award-winning columnist. What's an award? I've never won one of those. He must have a house filled with plaques. At the LA Times, today is columns of Jeannie Buss reminding everybody this week that she runs the Lakers, not LeBron, and Bill is joining us. I'm actually, I think, in the group, the quieter chorus, the smaller group, to not fire Luke Walton with 30 games left. I'm on Team Jeannie Buss. Where do you land on this, Bill?
Yeah, I agree with you completely, Colin. We just don't know what Luke can do with a full season with this team. Now, I don't think if they don't make the playoffs, he's not getting past the final game of the season. I mean, he's done then. I'm certain of that. But I think he deserves a chance to be. I mean, this is a guy who was, you know, they're committed to growing their young players, yet suddenly they're not committed to growing their young coach. And, you know, this is a guy who was this year, he had these young guys, plus then he had the kids and he had the kooks. And they added all the kooks in the summer, plus LeBron. He's got to coach all this mess and try to figure it out. And LeBron missed 18 games with a groin. And, yeah, so he hasn't had a fair run. And I think this is really impressive to me is that Jeannie Buss, just as she wrested control of the organization from her brothers, she put her foot down and said, you know what, LeBron, we'll give you Lance Stevenson. We'll give you Michael Beasley. You're not getting Luke Walton. Not now. Not on my watch. And I thought that was really important symbolically to let everyone know she still runs this team.
By the way, Clutch Sports has tried to, in the last couple of weeks, distance themselves from LeBron. We all know there's a real alignment with with Rich Paul and Clutch Sports. How much power does LeBron have inside the Lakers? How much does he want? How much is he in Magic or Rob's ear?
Oh, completely. He wants it all. I mean, he's trying to run the team. From what I understand, he's trying to, you know, micromanaging behind the scenes with Rich Paul, trying to pick the coach, pick the players, design the future of the Lakers. And it's not, you know, and again, this Anthony Davis thing failed so spectacularly. And then plus, I think he's lost. So he's totally in Magic's ear. Magic's following his lead, all that. And then, but it's not working out so well because A, LeBron got hurt, and B, he's not connecting with his team on the court. He's so disconnected out there that, you know, if you ask me, he's the biggest problem with the Lakers right now, is that he is not, you know, lived up to expectations out here, either physically or mentally. And then he comes out with a quote, which, again, he's trying to, you know, run the Lakers. And he says, well, it's only icing on the cake. A championship is only icing on the cake. Laker fans don't want to hear that. Laker fans think the Lakers are the cake. You know, they want him to be here to win a championship, not to come out here and live out his Hollywood days. It's been a disappointment. It's been a big disappointment so far with him. And I think he's got, 25 more games to try to figure it out, to try to salvage this first year.
Jackie McMullen, a widely respected longtime NBA reporter, said about a month ago, there is real tension inside the building. Do you sense that as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's brought, you know, Kevin Durant, I criticized Kevin Durant for not wanting to play with LeBron, but KD was right about everything LeBron brings with him. And he brings this, maybe it's creative tension. Some of it is, you know, jealous tension, but it's a lot of tension, a lot of, do we have to operate around this guy? Is this guy in our orbit? You know, a lot of tension. And again, I think this works out if he's on the court and he's invested and he's bought in and they're winning. But when he's injured and then he separates himself from his team and then his team doesn't trust, you know, the young guys don't trust him anymore because they think he's the one that one of them traded, which is very likely. So he's having a hard time connecting with everybody. And now that the trade deadline's over with, you know, we'll see what happens. They're all on even ground. We'll see if moving forward they can figure it out. But yes, he has brought, and you know, we heard stories about this, Colin, out here in LA about how LeBron works and how his planet orbits, you know, eclipses your planet. We're finding it out here. We're seeing exactly what that's like. And it's a whole big ball of wax. It's a whole big thing.
Yeah, there's a definite urgency. Trade everything to get good now. Do you think they land Anthony Davis by season's end? Do you think he's their number one target? Do you think it's already inevitably done?
I don't think they get him at all. I don't mean now this Dell Demps thing may change it. We'll see who's running the Pelicans. But I don't think that their package as constituted, their package would match Boston's package. And so I think they're out of the Anthony, in a lot of people's opinions, they're out of the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. They got to go out and get a free agent. They've already blown that. And that's the next question is now seeing all the issues out here with LeBron and seeing and wondering still, why is LeBron here? And is he really here to chase a championship? Will that be make it harder for them to get a free agent to come play with him? I mean, that's going to be the next step. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty. A lot of people are worried, oh my gosh, is this like the Dwight Howard, Steve Nash era? Where so, you know, so was going to be so great and it turns out to be a complete failure. I think there's a lot of unknowns going forward and a lot more than what most people thought.
Magic Johnson took a real hit on the Anthony Davis situation. People said it was disorganized. I will defend Magic two ways. One, I think the Pelicans poisoned the water by leaking stuff. There's nothing Magic could do. Secondly, I do think there's sort of a, I said this. Obama became a celebrity last 3 or 4 months of running for president. Trump was as he ran. You can't blame a celebrity for being a celebrity. You do play by different rules. People want to be around you. TV and radio stations want to talk to you and ask you questions. Players want to play with you. So part of it is I support Magic on this tampering stuff because I do think part of it is if Magic has an opinion, it's much bigger than if, you know, the Charlotte GM had an opinion. But do you think Magic's done a good job? Is Pelinka running the show, or do you think Magic was exposed with all the Anthony Davis stuff?
Well, I think I agree with you about Magic. I think he's done, I've criticized him in the past for several things, but I think he did what he had to do with this Anthony Davis thing. Rich Paul got the whole thing started, never should have gone public with all this, put his client in a tough position, put the Lakers in a tough position, and Magic was forced to go out there and try to get him. And I wrote Magic had to try to get Davis, and he did everything he could to try to get him. I think Magic's doing his job. I think we'll see Magic. We can't really evaluate him. Even with LeBron James. LeBron James, it turns out, was probably coming to L.A. no matter who was running the show.
Right.
So we'll have to see what he can do this summer. He'll be judged by championships just like everyone else. But, no, he's not around as you know, Colin, he's not around the offices as much as Rob Pelinka. Right. He's not there every day like Rob Pelinka is. But Magic clearly has Genie's ear. I mean, Magic is still the one calling all the shots and having the final say on everything. So we'll see. I think the jury is out on him. But I don't blame him, this Anthony Davis thing. I mean, I don't blame him for trying to do what he could do. He was stuck. Once they said he wanted to be traded and he wanted to come to the Lakers, by goodness, you know, Magic had to do whatever he could to try to get him. I don't blame him for that. And, yeah, I do think New Orleans poisoned the well and kind of got back at him for that.
Yeah. It's funny with LeBron. The other night against Atlanta, I watched that game, and he had really good numbers, but he did look disengaged at times. He really did.
He looked it was the most vacuous triple-double I think I've ever seen. He was just he wasn't helping on defense. He was walking down the court, those sighs, those winces. Laker fans are getting sick of that. I mean, buy in, man. This is your team. You came here. You know, don't come here to go on vacation or to build your brand. Come here to win championships. Yeah. Buy into Luke Walton. Buy in. To me, he has not bought in.
No. I said this the other day. I said Park City, Utah is in Utah. It's not of Utah. Austin, Texas is in Texas, but it's not of Texas. LeBron's a Laker, but he's not all in.
He's not a Laker.
He doesn't feel like it.
You're exactly right. He's disconnected. You can ask anybody within an organization. It's like he's his own company, his own brand, his own element. He's his own planet. And he's orbiting around the Lakers, but he's not landed and connected with the Lakers at all. And yes, and they feel it. And the players, you know what the team leader is? Is Rajon Rondo. He's their leader. They love him. The kids love him. You saw how much he celebrated when he came back and beat Boston with that shot. That was real. He's mentoring them. He's helping them. He's leading them. What's LeBron doing? Not right now. Not putting up some good numbers and playing, but not as engaged and as invested as he should be in any of this.
Great talking to you, Bill. I only see about once a year now, even though we live in the same town. You know, you could take me out to lunch.
The LA Times. I can't afford to go where you go, Colin.
The LA Times building's right next to my house. But you sports writers, you don't go in the building, do you? You just do your stuff.
No, because those are so far away. We never go in the offices. No, you'll find me at Staples Center, Colin. Come by and see me sometime.
All right. Good talking to you, Bill.
See you, man.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.